Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight, and I want to help you keep your Bibles open once we read this passage, and I think I can get you out maybe just a couple few minutes early, maybe. I'll get Brother Dorsey to close in prayers to make sure we can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to start reading in verse 14, and then we're going to launch from here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 23. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's some of you. Comfort the feeble-minded. That's most of you. It doesn't say what to do with the no-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is one of the most amazing passages of scripture to me. Honestly, I could teach for days just on this one passage. Don't worry, I won't do that tonight. But I am going to say something now that will tie in later about this passage. I want you to listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit and behavior go together. The Holy Spirit and behavior go together. The more of the Holy Spirit that you yield to, the better behavior you will have. Now, this is why, everybody listen to this very carefully here. When people have babies and they start growing up, they usually about 2 or 3 years old hit that wonderful stage. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Terrible twos and thunderous threes. You say, well, mine didn't. Liar. I don't care who you are. About time four hits and five, it's really getting, you're hoping to come through it, and you are a little bit, but usually it's still a battle of wills. By the way, doesn't matter if they're bus kids, doesn't matter if they're church kids, doesn't matter if they're preacher's kids. Matter of fact, if they're preacher's kids, they're probably worse. They got a double portion. But say, why is that? Because a child, until the time they get saved, is lost. And they are living the epitome of a lost person. They live to please the flesh. It's hard to look at a child that's being brought up in a Christian home and realize my kid's lost and on his way to hell and acting like a hellion. Well, he is, because he's lost and on his way to hell. He doesn't know it yet. He's not accountable for it yet. But that time at which they start understanding right from wrong and that they need a savior, that's when salvation kicks in, usually pretty quick. But it's pretty hard. You think, man, I keep teaching my child. Yeah, but you're teaching somebody that's not spiritual. You're teaching them spiritual truth to someone who does not have a living spirit. So until they're old enough to understand, that's why they act the way they do. Now, I say that to say this. Once they get saved, behavior really does change. The ability to correct changes. See, once a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit will help mom and dad correct somebody. And correction is more readily received. By the way, until then, correction is just penal. It's just hope they live through it. Amen? Or hope you live through it. Now, God lists some wonderful commands to us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me say this. There are more commandments in the Bible than the 10 in Exodus chapter 20. The 10 commandments of Exodus 20 were civil law. That was government. It was not moral law. It was not law by which we had to abide as Christians. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commands in Scripture. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5 is a list of commands. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That means when somebody's getting out of hand, somebody needs to warn them they're about to get the head knocked off. That they ought not behaving that way. Comfort the feeble-minded. There are people that are feeble-minded and they need comfort. That's usually what I end up with. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. These are all commands. God didn't say, I want you to do this. He said, see that you do this. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That wasn't, if you feel like it, rejoice. No, he said, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean you walk around with a bathrobe on going ooh in a monastery somewhere either. Then it says, in everything, give thanks. That's another command. It didn't say give thanks about everything. It said in everything, give thanks. You stub your toe, you're not supposed to be thankful that you stubbed your toe, but you can be thankful for something in spite of stubbing your toe. Make sense to everybody? Then we get to verse 19, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. That means don't hate preaching. Prove all things. We'll get into these later, but there is a list of commands there. Now tonight, I want to focus on verse number 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Notice, capital S. That means, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. We are commanded not to quench the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you, once you're saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. Folks, I said something about this on Sunday. Once you get saved, you can never be unsaved. Stand up here, Brother Dorsey. Brother Dorsey, I think, got saved. Now, the day he got saved, he trusted what Christ did, but the Holy Spirit moved inside. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sealed him. Did y'all ever do any canning? And I'm not talking about shooting a cannon, but canning vegetables or fruit. And you know, you boil those jars and then you put the stuff in them and then you put the lid on them and you put them in the pressure cooker or put them in the coal packer. That's what we used to call it. I don't know if that's what it is or not. And you boil those things for, seems like, 14,263 hours. And it's always 100 degrees out. And you got to take them out of the hot water and let them, put them on the counter and let them cool down. And when they start cooling down, you start hearing that. And then you say, ah. Say, what was it? That means it, what? Sealed. When the Holy Spirit moves inside, he seals you. You're sealed until the day of redemption at the rapture or at the day of death. In other words, you can't take the Holy Spirit out of you. You can quench him, but you can't remove him. In other words, you can't lose your salvation. You can quench the Spirit to where he won't be effective in your life, but he will not remove himself from you or you lose your salvation. Thank you. You can have a seat. Don't go pop. All right? Now, for you to lose the Holy Spirit, it would be becoming unsaved. And that is impossible. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Now, you cannot be unborn. You cannot remove the Holy Spirit once you get saved. You can quit yielding to Him. You can quit listening to Him. You can quit obeying Him, but that does not mean He leaves you. You can never lose Him. Now, God tells us that we can quench the Holy Spirit. That is the statement that I want us to look at for our Bible study tonight. It's very interesting the way that God tells us that what we do can stop or limit the Holy Spirit's influence in our life. Remember, you cannot remove Him, but you can quench Him. Now let me, I only have 2 points tonight, but they're pretty long. All right, number one, quench means several different things. All right, you can chase it down wherever you want to chase it down. I use my Greek lexicon. I use and I chase it down in that way as well as other ways. But the word quench means, first of all, to take the breath out of. You can take the breath out of the Holy Spirit. Now, the word spirit is the word pneumos, which means breath. We can live in such a way to stop His breath from giving us sustaining spiritual life. It causes the spirit to be short of breath. When I was a kid, oh man, I don't even want to tell this story. Truth is finally coming out. We had a big pine tree in the back of our backyard. My brother and I built a fort up in that stupid pine tree. Of all trees in the world, but it was the only tree we were allowed to be in. And Dad said, if you want to fight the sap and all that stuff, go for it. So what did two boys do? We went for it. I'm sure that thing wasn't more than, what, Dad, 12, 15 feet up in the air at most. At most. But to us, it was a long way up there. Man, we worked and 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 worked. And of course, my brother was older, so he thought he was king of the fort. And he'd climb up first, and I'd go up there, and he'd step on my fingers and wouldn't let me in and all those kind of things. Well, one day, he wasn't letting me in, and we kind of got to fussing, and he swears up and down he didn't do it, but when somebody's stepping on both of your hands at the same time, it sure wasn't me. And, you know, all of a sudden you kind of let go. Well, I kind of went, when you let go with both hands, you're done. I don't care what you grab, you ain't going to grab it fast enough. And man, I came down and I hit with a thud. And y'all know that feeling when it's, and, I mean, there's nothing there. You can't even squeak. Man, I'm laying on the ground thinking I'm dying. He's like, come on, quit. Man, I'm going down there going, you know. I'm trying to get up, and there's no air to even get up with. You know. By the time he gets it, I'm finally going, finally got some air back, you know. Don't tell Mom. Don't tell Dad, or I'll kill you. I'm thinking you just did. Good grief. Getting the wind knocked out of you. Now, I didn't die. There was a few seconds there I thought it was gonna. What a terrible way to go when you can't breathe, amen? It's just one of those things. I was playing third base in baseball one day, and I caught a quick shot off of third base, and it took a hop, and whoop. You know, you get a baseball that hits you right in the solar plex at the wrong time, the wrong way. I don't care who you are. You're going to land on the ground and go in front of everybody. It doesn't matter. Oh, that hurts. Oh, it hurts. The Bible says that's exactly what quenching the Spirit means. You take His breath away from you. You take His influence in that life-sustaining, spiritual life-sustaining air away. By the way, that means you can kind of gut punch the Holy Spirit by the sinful ways that we live. We can cause him to lose his breath. Suddenly, quickly, we can knock the wind out of him, so to speak. Next, the word quench means to extinguish. So not only does it mean to take the breath out of, it means to extinguish. That means to dampen or drown something. To extinguish a fire, you basically suffocate it. You extinguish it. Now, some you want to put water on, some you don't want to put water on. Not all fires go out with water. You have to know what kind of fire you're dealing with. If you have a grease fire, do not put water on it. All right? Bad, 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 bad thing to do. You're only going to make it worse, and you're going to have lots of trouble. But it literally, the word extinguish means to take the fire or take the burn out of something. Too many people don't want the Holy Spirit burning inside their heart, so they'll quench it. They'll quench him. That's when the preacher's preaching, gives the invitation, and you're white knuckling the chair saying, no, I can wait. I can wait. You're quenching the Spirit. When you know the Lord wants you to do something, and you keep saying, I'll do it later. No, that's quenching the Spirit. Too many people don't like conviction. It means to smother or to choke. That's what extinguish means. In other words, do you ever have those jarred candles? You know, my wife goes and blows them out, and then she puts the lid on them. I just put the stupid lid on it, let the stupid thing go out. I don't want to smell all the smoke. Say, either way, you're extinguishing it, but when you put the lid on that thing and all the oxygen's gone, it'll extinguish itself. You take the ability for it to burn away. You take the breath out. You extinguish it. That is exactly what we do when we allow the flesh or our fleshly desires and our feelings to smother the Holy Spirit. We are putting that lid on there and we're just suffocating it, and the light goes out. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit leaves. He doesn't die. He just withdraws. And he won't burn until you light the fire again. So, it means to take the breath out of. It means to extinguish. Next, quench means to hinder or to thwart. That's a hard word to say for me. Thwart. This means to prevent someone from accomplishing something. When you quench the Holy Spirit, you quench him from doing what he is supposed to do through you. Come on up here, illustration. You can write later. Let's see here. Brother Joe, come on up here. You look like a lost person. Come on, get your shoes on. I knew I smelled something. I told you you had your shoes off. You thought I was kidding, didn't you? I wasn't kidding. I saw him laying down there with his feet on the other side. Now, Brother Joe, you stand right there. I'm going to be the Holy Spirit, and you're going to quench the Holy Spirit. There's a dirty old filthy rotten scum of the earth low down sinner, tattoo people, beats his wife, all those things, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to witness to him.
You need to witness to him.
No, I'm the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to. I need somebody smart. I need Kirsten up here. No. Gosh. In other words, I want to see that man get saved, so you need to witness to him. So you say,
I'm not going to do it.
Wait a minute. Unless he goes and witnesses, can I, the Holy Spirit, work through him? Come on, please. You got to talk to him.
I'm not going to do it.
And then that person leaves, and I've been unable to do my work. That's quenching the Holy Spirit. Wonder, thank you. You can go back to writing. You can go back and take your shoes off. I wonder how many people the Holy Spirit wanted to work on through you, but you said, nah, I don't want to talk to them. Yeah, been there too, trust me. That's why I say when you knock on a door, I've heard people say, well, I could tell in the first few seconds whether they're going to listen to the gospel or not. Quit playing God. You do not. Usually the ones I think are going to listen are the ones that slammed the door in my face. And the ones I thought I don't have a snowball's chance in Hades to get saved are the ones that stand there and get saved and watch their life change. Trent Abel sat right back there, and I had been told, go witness to him, but he's probably going to cuss you out and kick you out. Have you ever had one of those situations? I get a lot of those. Brother Larry, you and Sherry with Sherry's brother, you both stood at your driveway and said, you sure you're going to go down there, preacher? You remember that? He's probably not going to be nice to you, preacher. You sure? I said, it's fine. I've been cussed out before. Don't worry. He can't say any words I haven't heard before. Now, I don't say those words, but I heard them all. Somebody had to open their mouth and tell him so that the Holy Spirit could do his work. I'm not saying they didn't try, but sometimes with your own family, it doesn't work real well. I get that. What'd you do? Knocked on his door. And I talked to him. Standing there over his walker, didn't know he was just a few weeks from going to heaven. Bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior. My son was with me. Josh was with me. It was right before he left for Florida. We're walking back to the truck. He said, Dad, you got to see this. I said, you've been playing on your phone while I was soul winning? He said, no. He said, I took a picture. I said, you're taking pictures while I'm soul winning? He said, Dad, shut up and look at this. You got to know my boys. You never know. Even when they grew up, it was no different. I look at it. He said, I got a great picture, Dad. And he got a picture while my head was bowed and while your brother's head was bowed, them us standing here like this. He got a picture of him the moment he was getting saved. Little did we know, a few weeks later, we needed that. You say, why did that happen? I was not going to thwart the Holy Spirit. Don't take this the wrong way. Miss Sherry, I really didn't want to get cussed out. I know I looked real confident, but inside I was thinking, Lord, please, I don't want to get cussed out again. I really don't want to disappoint everybody. Would you just at least let me get the gospel to him? I don't like getting cussed out any more than anybody else does. I can't even say those words back. Imagine that gets around town. I mean, that'd be like the Catholic priest or something, you know? You know, the word thwart means to hinder somebody from doing something. Let me ask you a question. What have you stopped the Holy Spirit doing in your life? Because you didn't want to do what he said do. Our disobedience, our resistance, our sinful ways, our ignoring him, doing things in our own power and doing it our way. There are a lot of preachers who will perform, but they don't preach with God's power. They'll use fancy words, but it's not God's power. They're using their methods, their ways, and they're doing it in their own way, but they're not letting God work through them. Oh, they're moving people. They're seeing masses of people come. They're inspiring people, but it's they that are doing it, not the Holy Spirit. You see, when we hinder the Holy Spirit when we do things in our own power. Folks, When you sing, sing in the power of the Holy Spirit. It may not be perfectly in pitch, but guess what? The Holy Spirit can get all over it. If you're going to play an instrument, play it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't say Holy Spirit makes it perfect, but he can empower it. You see, too many times we do things in our own strength. Our music is to let him work, not change the beat and make it affect people's bodies and then call it the Holy Spirit. Contemporary music affects the body, and people feel their body wanting to move, and they say, that's the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. If it's affecting the body, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works with the spirit, not with the flesh. Please don't get mad at me. But when people get up and they start dancing and jiving and doing whatever, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Well, whatever they got, I don't want it. Because my Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. There are spirits out there that are not godly spiritual. Everybody doing okay? When it starts affecting the flesh before it starts affecting our ability for God, usually it's not the Holy Spirit. That's why they want to jibber jabber in tongues. That's why they want to be healed in the name of Jesus. You pow! Oh, I felt it, I felt it. Yeah, you felt something, all right. Just put your hands on the back of the television set and you'll feel the power. Some of you young people don't know what I'm talking about. You older ones know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, they felt the power, all right. Bzz, bzz. I'm not kidding. That's what they used to preach. You got to have the music to make everybody wiggle and jiggle and bounce. And, don't you feel the Spirit? When you hear that term, feel the Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit. Mark it down. You will never find that statement in Scripture. I challenge you. Find one place where it says, feel the Spirit. Folks, you can't feel a spirit. A spirit has no body but yours. You can put your hand all the way through Casper the Friendly Ghost. It's a spirit, amen? Sorry. I had to get it down where y'all understood it. A spirit has no body. Not one like we understand. There are spiritual bodies and there are celestial bodies and there are carnal bodies like what we have. We can't see the spiritual bodies. We don't have eyes to see them, but you will find no place in Scripture ever that says that you have to feel the Spirit of God. If it's affecting the feeling part of things, it's not the Holy Spirit. Now, we are not to do things outside of Scripture and say the Spirit led us to do it. I was standing there and I was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. You weren't filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Not unless you were witnessing to somebody that didn't understand English and all of a sudden they started listening and understood it and they heard the gospel and got saved. But that doesn't mean you laid on the floor and flipped around and said all the motorcycle names backwards. See, that's not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues was given so that the gospel could get out. It had nothing to do with some jibber-jabber. It had everything to do with getting the gospel out to every creature. Most of the time in the book of Acts and in other places, it talks about every man heard in his own tongue. Not that every man spoke in other tongues. Now, I got to move on. Quench also means to harden. in metalwork, blacksmithing, and different types of working with metal. You heat metal up super hot to where it turns red, and you form it, and then if you cool it very quickly, most metals will harden. And it'll harden depending on the amount of carbon and different things in it, and I'm not going to get into all the chemical stuff that goes with all that. But to make something harder after you've made it soft and formed it, then you put it down into oil or put it down into steel, and you cool it very quickly. Those molecules harden it to where, by the way, it's not hardened all the way through as much as you think. It's the outside that's hardened, not the inside. What's on the inside is still just as soft as the outside would have been. But those outside molecules, because they were cooled so quickly, they condense and draw together so much that it puts a hard layer around that steel. That is exactly, if you went into a blacksmith shop, they would do something and you'd see them, and it'd catch on fire. And they'll tell you they are quenching the steel. In other words, they were hardening it. Can I tell you something? We can super cool or quench the Holy Spirit and harden ourselves to where he can't shape us anymore. The Holy Spirit's there to shape you and to mold you, but if you quench him, and you put that hardness around you, he's then unable to form you. Now, us choosing our will over his will hardens us. Us not submitting to him quenches him and hardens us. Us not responding to him as we read the Bible or we hear the Bible preached quenches the Holy Spirit. Now, we can harden ourselves to the point where the Holy Spirit just leaves us alone. He'll quit bothering us. The old preacher used to say it this way: I think you ought to use the altar because God moved in your heart. But I also think you ought to use the altar when you don't think God moved in your heart. Because if he didn't move in your heart, something's wrong. You better hit the altar. So we've gone through about four or five things that what the word quench means. Number two, when we do not quench the Spirit, our behavior could be better for the difficult times of life. When we don't quench the Spirit, our behavior can be better for the difficulties of life. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse number 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Wow. Did it say just to the saved people? No, it said to every man. That means this: when somebody has mistreated you at work or in a bad business transaction, you're not supposed to render evil for evil. Okay, it's getting really quiet in here tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
There you go. Don't talk like a woman now. Say it like you mean it. You see, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're less likely to respond with evil when evil comes our way. Can I tell you something? This preacher has the same flesh you have. There are times that I want to come unscrewed, like everybody else wants to come unscrewed, especially at the county. But if you noticed, even when I had the opportunity to, I didn't render evil for evil. I defended what we needed for the church, but I did not get indignant. I did not attack. I asked for correction. We walked out of that meeting. My engineer, our church's engineer, looked at me. He said, "Pastor, I never saw anybody speak so directly and not cuss in my life." I said, "Thank you, I think." He said, no, he said, I was worried that you were going to attack. He said, you didn't attack. He said, but you got more done in 40 minutes than I've ever seen done in the last X number of years I've worked with this county. He said, you got more action. He said, I really was worried you were going to come unscrewed. I said, my flesh wanted to. I said, but I asked God to guide and direct it, not me. He said, you have to be a preacher not to cuss to say some of the things you said. He said, honestly, he said, your church has been treated unfairly. He said, I can't believe how you handled that. I said, no, there's more to it than my church. I said, there are people that come after me and I have more buildings to build. I said, they're stuck in a rut. They needed somebody to show them the rut they're in isn't working. I said, I didn't attack them personally. There was nothing personal about it. He said, that's what was different. He said, you attacked the system, not them. He said, I saw that right away. He said, that took everybody off and they didn't know what to do other than fix the system. I said, you notice I shook hands with everybody at the beginning and the end? He said, yeah. And he said, everybody likes you still. And I still can't figure out how you did that without cussing. Can I tell you something? I yielded to the Holy Spirit a lot before that meeting. I didn't take my service weapon with me on purpose. Didn't want to rely on it. I wanted to rely on the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? Verse number 16, rejoice evermore. There are days I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't wake up every day thinking, bless the Lord, I get to deal with everybody's problems. I get to clean up puke. I got to fix this problem. I got to fix that problem. I've got this person mad at me. I got this person leaving the church. I got this problem over here. And I'm just so excited about all of that. Wrong answer. Say, what do you do? I rejoice evermore when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 17. Pray without ceasing. Don't you think there's times I just want to tell God, I'm going on vacation, see you later, you take care of it. Nope. I can't. Say why? Because God said pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you pray 24 hours a day. But you ladies know what I'm talking about. When you cook dinner, you don't cook one thing of the dinner at a time. You can have 3, 4, 5, 6 things going on at the same time. And you're stirring all the pots and doing all this and cutting the salad and you're checking the oven and you got the microwave going and you got this going over here and you're making sure this is made and you've got all these things going, but the main part of the meal you've had going for a long while. Now, you didn't tend to it the whole time, but you kept checking on it till it was ready. That's what praying without ceasing means. You keep tending to it. Then verse number 18, in everything give thanks. Notice it says in everything, not because of everything. You don't have to give thanks for bad things that come your way, but you can be thankful when bad things come your way if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're yielded to the Spirit. Brother Scott crashed his car last week. Hydroplaned last Thursday and hit the Jersey wall and smacked up both ends of his car, and he's pretty sore. Well, thank God he walked away from it. I'm not happy he tore his car up, but number one, he didn't kill himself. He didn't hurt anybody else. Not another car touched on 270 of all places. How that happened, only God. But can I tell you something? There's things to rejoice about. It doesn't even have to be about that situation. He has other things in his life to rejoice about. Verse number 20. Despise not prophesyings. That means don't hate preaching. Best way to say it. Verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. When you're filled with the Spirit, when you're yielded to the Spirit, you're able to prove the good things and hold on to those good things. No matter how bad it is, you can still hold on to the good. My family went through a several month period of time. I didn't have a regular job. I was just depending on God, living by faith. Before we started this church, I just said, okay, Lord, somebody's got to stick it out and prove you by faith. Every bill got paid. Rent was never, or the house payment was never late. Sometimes it came in the mailbox. Sometimes it came at the door. I remember one time we didn't have much to eat. I was saying, Lord, gonna need something. Somebody showed up, knocked on the door, and brought in a bunch of food for us. Thank you, Lord. I've watched it happen time and time and time and time again. Verse 21 or 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Did you know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that it's a lot easier to live the way God wants you to live by abstaining from all appearance of evil? The Christian life, you just don't have no fun. Can't do this, can't do that, gotta do this, gotta do that. Hey, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not that you have to, you want to. Honestly, folks, do you really want to be associated with the alphabet soup people? You know, the LGBTQ and MICKEYMOUSE people? Do you really want to associate with those that, you know, they got purple and green and yellow hair and half of it shaved on one side? They don't know if they're a man or a woman. Folks, if you don't know what you are, I don't want to hang around. You know, some of these people that tattoo themselves from the fingernails to their eyelids, it just doesn't make sense to me. I can't wait till they're about 75, 80 years old. What's that one? Let's peel it back and see here. You know, you got my girlfriend there now. She's drooping everywhere. Good night. I mean, let's face it. You say, why do they do that? Because they want to cover up what they really are. I enjoy life way too much. I don't want to associate with evil. You know, mean people really aren't fun to be around. I've been around enough of those. Say, what do you say around them? As little as I have to, and when I walk away, I say, I rejoice that I don't have to be with them. I was with Brother Dorsey the other day. We went by somebody who was a little bit like that, and I said, aren't you glad you don't have to wake up with that every day? I really did, didn't I? So, man, what a blessing. I don't have to wake up with that every day. Phew. What a wonderful way to wake up, knowing I don't have to face that thing every day. Folks, I enjoy life way too much. You say, why? Because when you yield to the Holy Spirit, and I'm not the greatest example of it, I'm sure, but your behavior is affected by it. And that's what he's teaching us here. Don't quench the Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder how much we have quenched the Spirit in our lives.